He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, my name is Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and author of my newest book, God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. I'm so glad that you could join with us on today's program. As we go through this series, His Promised Grace, I know that you will discover that God's grace has allowed you to live the abundant life here on this earth as you walk in Jesus Christ. As you listen to the series, you will understand that the abundant life is more than finances, it's more than cars, it's more than houses, it's much more than any of that. It is eternal salvation in Jesus Christ that allows us to walk in His abundance with joy in our heart, knowing that God is in control of these troubled times. Now let's listen to the message, His Promised Grace. Father, we worship Your majesty. We come to You in humbleness of heart, knowing that as we reach for You, as we reach for the prize, as we reach for what You have commanded us to do, that the holiness of Your Son, Jesus Christ, resides within us. I pray, Father, that You will use me this morning as Your servant. You'll fill my mouth with Your words. Hearts will be meditated upon You in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now that there are terrorist groups in the church today. As we speak, they have infiltrated the church. The latest news reports are that 5 terrorist cell groups have been operating in many of our churches. Right. They've been identified as been sleeping, been arguing, been fighting, been complaining, and been missing. Their leader, Osama bin Lucifer, he trained these groups to destroy the body of Christ. The plan is to come into the church disguised as Christians and to work within the church to discourage, disrupt, and destroy. However, there have been reports of a 6th group, a tiny cell, much too tiny in this pastor's eyes, been praying is actually the only effective counterterrorism force in the church. Unlike other terrorist cells, the been praying team does not blend in with whoever and whatever comes along. Been praying does whatever is needed to uplift and encourage the body of Christ. We have noticed that been praying cell group has different characteristics than the others. They have been watching, been waiting, been fasting, been longing for their master, Jesus Christ, to return. Which cell group do you belong to? And guess what? No church is exempt. However, you can spot them if you've been looking. These terrorist groups can be combated as we grow in holiness to God, as we grow in maturity to Christ, as we continue our walk with God. That holiness that God has given to us is separated as we conform more and more to the world. That separation begins. We are further and further away from God as we conform closer and closer to the world. As we want to do more like the world, as we want to be like the world, we grow further from God. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. Be imitators of Christ. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Seek His holiness. It continues, Ephesians 5, 3 through 7. But among you there is not even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with any of them. We are not to conform to the world. Do not be partners with any of these things that are listed. And if you look at the ways of the world, that is all of these that are listed. It is all of these. Do not be partners with them. Seek God's holiness. As I said already, that is the scariest word in the Bible. And it's the one that's the most offensive to people, because they look at it as, well, now I'm a Christian, I have to become holy, now I can't have any more fun. That's a sad truth, and we laugh, but it is a sad truth. But as Christians, we know that that's not true. We know that we can go to a party until 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, get up, feeling refreshed after a night's sleep, and go on with our day. We don't have to wake up with that hangover. We don't have to wake up with a bad feeling of what we might have done the night before. We have a joy that God gives to us through His holiness. Now, if you still do those kind of things, I'm not saying that you're lost and you're going to hell. I am saying, however, if you have not given to your heart to Christ and you're doing those kind of things, you're lost and you're going to hell. But if you've given your heart to Christ and you are still struggling with the world, you are in that process. Some of us are stupid. I always think about myself when I say those words. Some of us takes far too long to get it. Some of us, it takes years. It takes struggles and their wives crying for them and praying for them. Some of us carry that guilt with us because we didn't get it quick enough. Paul was one of those guys. He didn't get it. He carried the guilt of killing those Christians instead of being part of them from the beginning. I am another one of those who carries that guilt of not getting it. And you know, as I was growing in Christ, I fell down far too many times. Perhaps you're in that cycle. But here's the good news. If you've accepted Christ into your heart, if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved and heading for glory, you are a child of the light. We are children of the light. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And if you will reside in the light, the darkness will have to flee. It can't stay with you any longer. There's hope. You are children of the light. Ephesians 5, 8 through 20. For you were once in darkness. Not you are, but for once you were in darkness. Now there is that light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm going to tell you, if it's Jesus Christ, then it's not a train. If it is a train, it's a train of holiness that is coming to engulf your entire life. You are children of the light. Say it with me. We are children of the light. We are children of the light. We have the light of Christ inside of us. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Seek His holiness. Find out what's pleasing to the Lord. Lord, is everything I'm doing pleasing to You? Let me get rid of that that's not. If it's not pleasing to You, I don't want to do it anymore. Am I looking at bad pictures? Am I looking at the wrong movies? Am I joining in the coarse jokes? Am I joining with the world far too much? Am I separating myself so much from God that He can't get in there? Find out what pleases the Lord. And when you begin to move towards what pleases the Lord, I'm going to tell you, you will never say again, we can have no more fun because now we're getting in, we have to go to God's holiness. It won't be a part of you. Because you will experience the true fun. You will experience the true joy. Who is Jesus Christ? Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. But rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what is disobedient, what the disobedient do in secret. It is shameful just to even mention it. What is done that is of the disobedient world. But everything is exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And you know what that is actually saying, if you take that back to the Greek? Don't be drunk on wine, be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit grab control. When you are drunk with wine, what happens? The wine is taken over. The wine is in control. Pretty soon you drink too much of the wine, and the wine controls totally what you are doing. Anger comes out. Things that maybe you would not have done come out. The way that you might be acting comes out. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to be in control. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very important part of this message right here, I believe. I think this is what the Lord gave me right now to tell you. I told you a few months ago about a man, a chief, that I didn't remember anything about. I searched him out this week. Searched it out on the internet. James Dobson had talked about a man named Chief Shoefoot. He was a shaman priest of the Yanomamo tribe in Amazon, who was interviewed by James Dobson on June 6, 2009. So if you want to go and listen to the entire interview, actually it was a two-part interview. June the 6th, 2009, if you'd like to listen to the entire message, I think it's amazing. Like I said, it's a two-part message. You may want to listen to the whole thing. I don't know the other date. But however, this is going to be a difficult part of the message because tradition surrounds what I'm about to discuss. Tradition surrounds the fact that, now this is the part where we can't have any fun. This is the part where holiness says, wait a minute, we can't have any fun. Because we come to this time of the year. And for me, it's the most difficult time of the year. Because it's Halloween. And we dress up in costumes and we purport things of the web this season of the year that ought not be for anyone, let alone Christians. This Halloween time of the year is a dark time of the year. And if you don't believe that, ask the inner city missionaries, ask the police, look at the stats. You will find out that this is the darkest time of the year in murders and in thefts and in violence and in all kinds of sexual immorality. You'll find that out. The dark time of the year. The subject, in my mind, has already been decided by Christ. But it's a subject that you have to come under conformity to Christ. You have to decide this. You have to decide, am I crazy? Am I too holy? And you don't want to have that. Wouldn't want that. Am I some sort of a fanatic? I pray I am. This is a hard message because it's very condemning message, but it's not me that's doing the condemning. In fact, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's a convicting message because the Holy Spirit only convicts. He does not condemn. Satan is the one, is the condemner. Satan is the one who comes against you. Spirit, if you are feeling like I am speaking to you, don't pull me aside and say, how dare you speak to me? And speaking directly to me because I don't know who you are. I'm speaking because the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. The Word says, be imitators of Christ. Remember the first scripture we read? Be imitators of Christ. Now somehow, in my mind, I can't see Jesus getting to this part of the year and dressing up as a vampire, a ghost, Frankenstein, axe murderer, have anything. I can't see it. Can you see it? Can you envision that? Take a picture of Jesus sometime. Put an axe right in the middle of his head with blood dripping down. See how that grabs you. Put a vampire costume on him. See how that grabs you. See if you think that we should be imitators of Christ. Or we should follow the way the world has told us. Look, you're just a bunch of fanatics. It's okay. That's harmless. That stuff's harmless. It doesn't hurt anybody. Wrong. Statistics show that it hurts. And I'm going to tell you the warning the Chief Shoefoot gave to us as American Christians. And I'm going to give to you. He had a warning for us. He said when he came into this country, he had a tremendous power of Satan in this country. Now let me tell you something. This was a man who was sold out for Satan. And he got converted by Jesus Christ. He knows what it is to be sold out for someone that you're following. Now he is sold out for Jesus Christ. And he doesn't care if you lay the fanatic label on him. And Paul didn't care if you lay the fanatic label on him. And I don't care if you lay the fanatic label on me. In fact, I welcome it as a crown that God has given me. It is high time that we have to do the same as Christians in America if we are going to make a difference. We cannot make a difference looking like the world. Can't do it. He said he had a tremendous power of Satan in this country, but the people are blind to it. He pointed out different costumes that are. He was here during the Halloween season. And purposely, the missionary who brought him took him to the store and said, what do you think of this? And he pointed out different costumes that were being used. And he said, these are the same costumes that we used as we invited the spirits to come in and be part of us, as we worshiped Satan, as we did all of the demonology that we did. These are the same costumes that we're putting on our children, giving them a bag of an empty bag and saying, fill this up. He said, let me ask you a question. Are there any children that are hurt because of this tradition, this ritual that you do? And maybe you, some of you might be, oh, no, it's harmless. It's just candy that we give to our kids. Oh, really? Why is it then that we have to be so careful as to the candy that our children get to make sure it's not poison? Do you remember the years when they put razor blades in apples? Do you remember that now we are trying to turn this ritual, we're trying to Christianize this ritual as much as possible, and we have where you go in and you go to the church and they give you candy. We know that's going to be safe. Are we still purporting holiness or darkness? The most wicked time of the year, the time when the most evil happens, is Halloween. I had a friend of mine who was in the inner city missions. He said they had a prayer vigil for this night because so many of the people that were in there, we're talking about inner city Kansas is where he was at, Wichita, Kansas. So many of their people would get killed or maimed or hurt during this time of year, specifically Halloween night. Let me ask you this. Why do you want to be part of such a year that worships Satan rather than Jesus? Have you ever thought about it that way? You might think this is harmless, but the Word tells us, be careful how you live, not as the unwise, what I just read to you, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. The Word tells us that. The days are evil. It's warning you. This Shaman priest is telling us, he's giving us a warning. He's saying, look guys, you don't see it, but I see the evil that is in the world. And yet we want to conform to that part of the world. Make sure that we get along with that part of the world. We place every single thing above Jesus Christ. You want to do good in the community. I commend that. But are you so busy in your community organization that you don't have time for Jesus Christ? Are you so busy on the one hand? Well, I can't do that because I've got to do this in Rotary and I've got to do this in Lions and I've got to do this in whatever else it is, the other community things that I've got. Those are good organizations. Please don't get me wrong. And if they throw me out on Tuesday, so be it. I'm a fanatic. It's okay. Those are great organizations that do good. But however, when they take precedence over what God wants, I can't witness for anybody. I got this over here to do. I can't do this over here for the church because I got this over here to do. These are hard words. I know that. I didn't come up with this message. God did. God wants us to get a... We talked last week about our priorities, how they're all messed up. We got the men down here. We got the women up here. We got the children up here. Children are in charge. You don't believe it, go to any high school, any junior high, anything like the children are in charge. The children get in trouble. What's the first thing mama does? You've touched little Johnny. You've hurt him. You gave him a spanking. You've hurt his feelings. Can't do that. The children are in charge. Men, we're down here because we've allowed it. Because we've allowed it to happen. Because it's easy. It's a lot easier if my wife does it all and I don't have to do it. It's a whole lot easier. It's a lot easier if she shows up to the meetings. I don't want to do it. Let her do it. Men. What monopolizes your time? Is it your thoughts about Jesus Christ? Is it your thoughts about being imitators of Christ, getting your family in line, forgetting about all that junk that doesn't matter? It's going to burn. I don't care if it's football, I don't care if it's hunting, I don't care if it's Rotary, I don't care if it's whatever, Veterans of Foreign War, anything that takes precedence over Christ is wrong. It's wrong. Jesus brought it down to a finer point than that. He said, whoever takes his wife or his children or anything above me is not worthy of the cross. He takes it even further than that. If you put your family ahead of God, you're not worthy of the cross. And so how much more do you think it will be these organizations? We're children of the light. But we act like children of the darkness. You see, if we're longing for what the world has, if you are longing for whatever the world is offering, you haven't given everything to Christ. Perhaps you haven't given anything to Christ. If you are longing for what the world has, if you do not want to seek His holiness because you can't have any fun any longer, it's time that you ask, what's wrong with me? Why am I not growing as a Christian? Why am I still a little baby? Do I know Jesus at all? Why do you want to hold on to that little piece of the world and not give it up? What's it going to do for you? That little piece of the world, what's it going to do for you? The football game you can't miss, the first day of hunting season you can't miss, what's it going to do for you? If you think this message is aimed at the men, you are right. Ladies, you're not off the hook. I'll probably get to you eventually. Today it's for the men. Because we are the spiritual leaders of the household, and instead we sit around and allow the women to take the full responsibility. And on that day that we stand before Jesus, men, we have to answer for that. I don't necessarily know how that looks, but we have to answer for that. Finally, Paul has a warning as well. Just like the Shalman priest, Paul has a warning. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not threaten prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Test everything. What you are doing, does it line up with the Word? If it does not, it burns. It's out of there. Get rid of it. It's over. And avoid every kind of evil. As you do all of this, it will become more and more natural. Am I saying that football is evil? No. Am I saying the first day of hunting season is evil? No. Am I saying that the organizations that I mentioned are evil? Absolutely not. They do good. It's good to unwind, man, and go to the first day of hunting. Kill that deer. Go knock off a couple birds. But it's just that when that becomes your driving force for your existence, there's a problem. When that becomes over your wife, there's a problem. When that becomes more important than your children, there's a problem. When that becomes more important than going and worshiping Christ and thanking Him for all the wonderful things He's done, there's a huge problem. A top-of-the-line problem. This is the last days. God's calling us to holiness. God's calling you to more fun than you have ever experienced in your life. He is calling you to more excitement than you could ever generate shooting a gun or watching a football game. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for these words that You have given, because I know they are words of love. I know they are words that need to be spoken, so that we might understand Your holiness, so that we might understand more about what You would have us to do, how You would have us to be, the type of Christians that You would have us to be, and how You would have us to live. I pray these words, Father, that you have spoken out of your word go directly to hearts. Help us to become more like you. And I give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining with us on our broadcast of His Gospel Power. I'm excited that you join with us and listen to us daily about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a listener-supported program, and I'm asking that you might prayerfully consider joining with us to spread the gospel around the world. You can do that in many ways. You can either go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. My latest one is God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. All the proceeds of those books go to this program of His Gospel Power. Also, you could go to hisgospelpower.org, hisgospelpower.org, and there is a donate section on that website. That is our website here for His Gospel Power. And just go and click on the donate button. If you would prefer to mail your gift, you can just send it to P.O. Box 1569. That's P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And all contributions that we receive are greatly appreciated. You would truly be a blessing to this ministry. I'm excited once again that you have joined with us. And until next time, I pray that you experience His gospel power today.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just come and praise His holy name. He's calling you. He's calling you. Jesus Christ is calling. Come live.